the Deborah E. Lake Show, and I want to welcome my listeners, and I'm glad that you have joined me today. We have a wonderful, wonderful group of women that we're going to hear wonderful, wonderful work that they're doing. And the title of the show is Women Helping Women, and we're going to get right to it because I want to hear as much as possible from our guests. So I'm going to start bringing everyone into the show and welcome you all ladies to the show. I am glad you're with us, and I would like for you to start by saying just who you are and where you're from, and then we will go from there because I really want to hear a lot about what you do. So let's start with Sonia Fuentes. Ms. Fuentes, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Deborah.
Glad you're here.
Me too.
I am glad you're here. And we're going to go to Meredith as well. Hi, Meredith.
Hi Deborah. I'm delighted to be here. And I'm from Norwalk, Connecticut, and I am a two-time breast cancer survivor.
Yes, and I definitely want to hear. I love the way you put the empowerment. I really want you to share a lot about that. And we have also Jessica. How are you?
Hi, Deborah. Thanks for having me. My name is Jessica Robinson. I'm a family relationship coach, and I am from Boston, Massachusetts.
And we have the dangerous lady. You want to come on in?
You bet. I'm Suzanne Bates, and I am aging but dangerous. And
I love that. I really do. I love it. Let's have some fun, okay?
We are, and I'm from Minneapolis. Now let's put a little plug in there for Minneapolis. So I'm in Minneapolis, and it's a wonderful city.
Yes, it is. I've been there. It's a gorgeous, beautiful people there as well.
So Deborah, I didn't get a chance to say where I'm from.
Oh, okay.
This is Sonia Fuentes. I'm from Sarasota, Florida. And
mm-hmm.
if I may say to Meredith, I used to live in Stamford, Connecticut.
Neighbors.
That's what we're all about, making connections. That's great. So one of the things I would like to do is just kind of let's go down the list that we started and talk about how you got into the work that you're doing, because each one of you are really doing different work, but it has a common theme, which is empowering people. And being a woman, I think that empowers women just in and of themselves, even though your work expands over the gender barrier sometimes. But I really want to hear how you got into it, because, for instance, Sonia, you have a whole career of breaking barriers for women. Can you say a little bit about, like, for you helped to found Now and Fuse, yeah?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Well, I was the first woman attorney at the Office of the General Counsel of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission,
mm-hmm.
which opened in July of 1965, and it enforced a new law, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which prohibited employment discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, and national origin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's how I got involved in women's rights.
That was back in the day. That was some hard work, I would imagine, in the 60s. You know, you probably created some categories that weren't even thought of back then. Meredith, I like how you have the stereotypes, you break down the stereotypes of beauty. Can
mm-hmm.
you say a little bit about that?
Well, I would just love to sum it up in one of my most favorite quotes I came across when I was writing was very therapeutic for me while I was undergoing my treatment. And this quote says it all to me, and it's by Ruby Dee. And it says, "The kind of beauty I want most is the hard to kind get that comes from within, strength, courage, dignity." I think that message is not given to young women growing up. It's all about being the next reality star, the next beauty queen, the plastic surgeries that can enhance you, that can make you more desirable to everybody. And until you confront breast cancer or any kind of disease, you don't really face the reality of who you are and look deep within. And I want to empower women to do that. well in advance of a diagnosis.
That's wonderful, and we'll talk a little more about all of this as we pull it together, and give some lessons to my listeners that will cross the board. But right now, I want to go to Jessica, and you are a life leadership coach. I love the one sentence. Not that I don't like any of the others, but I really like the sentence where you teach people how to be leaders in their own lives.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, and I've found in my own personal experience and my own growth that, you know, when I've had people, and especially coaches I've worked with personally, who have really empowered me to see that I have control over my own life, over my own thoughts, my own feelings, my own behaviors, that's just allowed me to step up in a whole other place in my life, and that's something that I just love to give back to other people, to help them to really see how they can be so powerful just by taking control and ownership of their own lives in a really holistic way.
Yes, and in this time when people are really floundering, a lot of people are floundering and looking for someone who has the answer, I think it's so important for all of us, that's why I wanted to do this show and have each one of you brought up a different version of what I wanted to send out, which is it's in our own hands. And sometimes, like with the illness, we have to get pared down to our base in order to find our strength. And that will take me to, I really want to hear from the older ladies having fun, because I am an older lady myself. So tell me about you.
Well, aging but dangerous. I have a partner, Jean Ketchum, and Aging but Dangerous is the .com company, and we provide tools to women. We have a blog, we have a website, we host events, we have products, we have a book coming out. We are working on actually two television shows that are happening simultaneously that people have contacted us about. And we're about supporting women and helping them expand their boundaries, because what we saw was that there were so many women that wanted to do things that would push their boundaries, but they just didn't have the support and the courage. So we're about reducing your butt. And now that's not your B-U-T-T, that is your B-U-T. And so, because we want it, and when we say that, we always get people like, okay, maybe we shouldn't go there. But we have so many, we are in the, right now on the next week, in fact, a week from tomorrow, we're having this martini jump skydive. And we have almost 100 women.
Oh my
over
God.
The age of 50 that are going to be skydiving on the same day at the same event. And interestingly enough, so many of them are cancer survivors. And they're like, we've always wanted to do this, and we want to get our power back, and we want to feel empowered. And when they found out that my partner Jean was going to do it to celebrate her 70th birthday, we couldn't imagine that 100 women would want to do this, and we're having to turn them away now.
Oh my gosh! You know, I after 50, I ran my first marathon just last year, so I know what it's like to get out there and push your boundaries. Sonia, tell me, you push some boundaries, I would imagine, in yourself, because where did you get the strength and the encouragement to break the boundaries that you did? And tell me about that.
I don't know the answer to where I got the strength. I certainly didn't get any encouragement.
Yeah, I would imagine, yes.
I think it had to do with my background. I'm Jewish, and I was born in Berlin, Germany,
mm-hmm.
and my family and I had to leave there or else we would have been killed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that happened when I was 5-6 years old. So that gave me a very strong interest in fighting any kind of discrimination.
Mm.
And
okay.
So initially I got involved in the NAACP and racial discrimination, but then when I joined the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which, as I mentioned, enforces the law against gender discrimination in employment, I had the same interest in fighting that kind of discrimination. And I don't know, I'm just a persistent person. I'm very emotionally involved in women's rights, and that's why I did it and do it.
Yes, you still do, yes. Meredith, tell me what it was like to get in touch with your own mortality, because I think that is something that really wakes us up and lets us know that the time is not unlimited. We're not going to live forever. You know, when we're younger, we think we're going to live forever, and, you know, I'll do that next year or next month. Tell me what that was like. How did you get through that and to the other side and bring the lessons to someone else as well, other people?
Well, with my first occurrence of cancer, I was 46 years old, and I had just gotten a divorce, and I had ductal carcinoma in situ, and it was non-invasive, so I had a protocol of radiation, and I kind of went on my merry way, thinking all was well, and I felt great, and I wasn't an aggressive form of cancer. It changed me, though. You get an awakening, and my awakening was, wow, there are so many other women that have it a lot worse than I do confronting this disease, that I began volunteering. And as I did the volunteer work, I would see women whose stories were heartbreaking. Many are with us now. Many have gone on.
Mm-hmm.
And that changed me. And I just kept thinking how lucky I am. And then I got a second, 3 years later, completely unexpectedly, with an annual mammogram, I got a second diagnosis of cancer in the opposite breast. And this time it was the aggressive HER2 positive form of the disease. And a calm and a stillness came over me, a serenity, and I can't really explain it. And I went deep within, and I confronted mortality, and I thought, okay, well, if I'm going to go, I'm going to leave something behind. And there's a wonderful book called I think it's called The One Book by Dan Zeta. And if you do just one significant thing before you leave this planet, you've contributed. And it was just an awakening that I had. And the good news is that I'm currently NED, no evidence of disease at the moment.
That's fantastic.
Deborah, if I may say so, you have four women on this panel, and I'm the second one who is a breast cancer survivor.
Okay. Wow. The three.
That's Sonia who said that?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a pretty bad statistic.
Yes.
But it's also very telling that here's what I'm seeing, that part of what has happened is you have breast cancer in common, which is a major illness, but you also have something else in common, which is you inspire others as well, and you keep your own inspiration for yourself, even if there's nothing else out there. Jessica, were there times when you had to move when you felt like nothing else was working in your favor? And if that was the case, how did you overcome it?
Certainly, I have experienced that, and I think there have certainly been a variety of different times in my life where I have, you know, felt like I have run up against a brick wall, or felt like, you know, I couldn't see my way around where things were at that moment. And, you know, one of the things that really got me through those times was having an incredible support network. You know, either my husband or other, you know, amazing women in my life, or the coaches who have supported me at different times. You know, I find, especially in my role as a coach, that there's something really powerful in having somebody else, you know, hold up a mirror and say, hey, you're going to be okay. You know, you have a strength, you have all of these skills, you have these gifts that you can really tap into to get through the situation that you're in right now. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I really try to do for my clients who are, you know, struggling, who might be in a bit of a crisis, and really just help them to see that they do have this strength, they do have this power inside them. And, you know, I've certainly experienced, you know, some real lows in my life, and being able to, you know, have somebody remind me that, you know, that's not all there is to me has been a huge thing to help me sort of dig out of those moments.
This is great. I'm really loving this show. Tell me, chime in as you want at this point. Tell me, who inspires you? Who inspired you when you were young, or who had the most? Who did you look up to, or who had the most impact on you that helped make you be the person that you are now? All of you, please.
Well, this is Sonia, and I've had different. What I don't know about inspired me perhaps a little bit. I've had different role models at different times of my life who were people that I wanted to emulate. When I was living in Stamford, Connecticut, that was a woman named Dr. Ida Davidoff, who was a resident of New Canaan, Connecticut. She was a feminist and a marital counselor, a terrific woman, who kept working and writing and speaking until she died close to the age of 98.
Wow.
When I was younger, it was a woman named Ethel Cooperman, who was my parents' attorney. And so I had a role model for an attorney, which is what I later became.
Hmm.
This is Suzanne, Aging but Dangerous. And I think that for me, it was my grandmother who was, and my mother who... My grandmother was a farmer, but in that simplicity of being a farmer and really being, I would say, poor, she was able to hold her dignity, and she was really a liberated woman, and she wasn't out protesting or doing any of the kinds of things that we did in the 60s, even though it was a lot of fun in the 60s, but she was able to really assert herself. And my mother was the same way, but one of the things it taught me was that women do need to support each other. And I think if my mother had the support that I have had, and it seems like a lot of the women on this panel have had, that she could have been so much more than, and she wanted to be more. I just don't think that she had a role model. And that's the whole idea of what Aging but Dangerous is about. It's about supporting women and then creating the role models for this new generation coming up, because the people who are over 50 now, it's a very different time, and it's a very different mindset than people like my mother had.
Yes.
This is Meredith.
Women can do anything.
That's true. Meredith, did you...
Yeah, this is going to be ironic for everybody, but I lost my mother when I was 15 years old. She was 53. She had pancreatic cancer, and I was I didn't have a female role model, but my father was amazing, and it just goes to show that men can step in. And he gave me a freedom. He instilled morals and values in me and gave me a freedom and allowed me to grow and never said, you're a woman, you can't do this, and was proud of everything. So he is a true inspiration for me. And that, and just the most amazing set of girlfriends who stuck with me, who surrounded me all through my cancers. And women have such an amazing power of healing and nurturing and supporting each other. It's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I'm taken aback a little bit by all of you people referring to women over 50 as older. Those are youngsters. I'm 82.
Oh, perfect.
Well, you need to connect with the dangerous ladies and jump off, jump out and do the champagne.
Do you have time to come to Minneapolis next weekend and jump out of an airplane?
It's next
Thank
weekend.
You for the invitation. It's the very last thing I would ever do.
Well, we have about five, I think we have four or five 80-year-olds that are jumping.
Well, let them jump for me. I can't imagine that. Jessica, did you chime in on the person who...
Sure, I can jump in as well. I think I certainly have had a lot of role models in my family. You know, with my mother, and I have three aunts who are very dear to me, and my two grandmothers, one of whom lived to 97, and each of them have really, you know, taught me very different things about life and had different experiences themselves, and just provided such a rich group of women to look up to when I was growing up. And I think myself and my cousins, who are all women, really benefited from having such an amazing group of women raising us. And it, you know, it's amazing to see also, you know, the women that my cousins have grown into today as well, that, you know, that we've been able to benefit from what our mothers and aunts and grandmothers have provided for us.
And that is definitely what it's all about. Meredith, we have something in common. I have the same story that I can tell about my father as well. My mother, she encouraged me, and she was there as well. But my father is the one who gave me permission to be me,
mm-hmm.
and permission to fail, and know that there would be someone there. Him, he's dead now, but he instilled that in me, and that's one of the things I would like for the men to be able to do more of with their daughters. I think they do it with their sons just automatically. But you can really empower your daughters and have them be really strong women if you can give them as well, give them that permission. It doesn't matter if you're a girl. It doesn't matter. You go and do what your heart tells you to do. And that combined with females, you know, and women supporting each other, that's you can't lose with that. You really can't. That's great.
I
have a question. Pardon me?
I agree. You couldn't ask for anything more than that, really,
yes.
To have a supportive father as a role model and, you know, females, which will always be important in our lives.
Well, always, yes. And that leaves me, we're running a little short on time, but I really want to get this in because I think this is something that's important. I want to raise it because I think a lot of women are held back this way. How, first of all, have you run into the homosexual label that women sometimes get when they want to reach out and support one another? They're sometimes afraid of being called lesbian. And how did you free yourself from that? Because I'm not asking for you to say whether you're lesbian or what. I'm just saying that is something that has been used to control women in the United States, especially, who wanted to come together and support one another.
This is Sonia, and I have never run against, of course, that.
Okay. All right.
You know, Sonia, it's Meredith, never.
All righty. That's good.
No.
I have,
this is Suzanne, and I have never, I'm like just taken aback by the question, actually. I'm thinking, wow.
Well, I'm taken aback, and I'm the host. And that doesn't happen often, I have to tell you. But, yeah, I've run into it, and I've run into it in different communities where they're labeled sometimes, and they throw that around to try to get women to disassociate from one another. But if that hasn't happened to anyone on the panel, I am happy. That means maybe the world is changing for the better. I don't know.
Yeah.
Doesn't show that the world is changing, because I was involved in the beginning of the women's movement in the 1960s, and I've never run across it myself.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard that other women at times have been accused of being lesbians because they fight for women's rights.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally have not, and I don't think it's any change.
Okay. All right. So, like I said, we're getting a little short. We'll do a 30-minute show. And what I would like to do is, first of all, I'll tell my listeners that you can find out more about each and every one of my guests at my website, DeborahElake.com. And I'd like for each one of you to leave us with one of your final thoughts, whatever you would like to say. Just chime in whoever wants to come first.
Well, this is Sonia, and what I would like to say is that I hope women know what their rights are under the laws, because we've gotten lots of rights since 1964, and if anybody doesn't know what they are, they can get in touch with me.
Okay. Thank you.
It's Meredith, and I I have to say that women need to become their own advocates in health or in anything in life. Never take no for an answer. Question, and just get knowledge. Knowledge is power, and the most important thing, and I'm pretty much speaking from a healthcare issue, is to become your own advocate.
Definitely, yes.
This is Jessica, and to piggyback a little bit on Meredith, I think from my perspective as a coach, something that is so powerful I find for myself and for all of the clients that I work with is to have that knowledge, have that awareness of yourself, to understand that, you know, the kind of thoughts that you have coming up in your head are entirely of your own creation, and they lead to your feelings, which lead to your behaviors and the results that you're finding in your life, and that puts you in the driver's seat all the time in your life. So anytime you're having, you know, doubt about yourself, anytime you're being questioned by somebody else, you can always come back to those thoughts in your head and choose to have a different thought. Choose to really turn things around by shifting your perspective about what's going on in your head and who you are as a person.
That's very good. All this is very good advice. Yes.
Well, and this is Suzanne, Aging But Dangerous, and I think that to surround yourself with wonderful women and to, and I think that's been a real theme here, and join communities. If you don't have a group of friends, join communities like agingbutdangerous.com so that you can really feel that support, because we can do anything. We can do anything, and that is something that I just think that a mantra that we need to say over and over to ourselves: we are strong, we are wonderful, and watch out, world.
I love all of this. Thank you, Sonia, Meredith, Jessica, Suzanne, really, thank you for your time and thank you for your wisdom. I really have enjoyed having you as guests, each and every one of you, and all the best to you in your work.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
That's all I have for you today. Thanks for listening. This is Deborah E. Lake, here to let you know that you can recognize, live, and live fully in your life. Claim your life. Own your life. Until next time, world. Thank you.